Well, it is great to be here back at St. Andrews and see so many of my friends from a number of years ago. And I was asked today to speak on sort of practical tips on how to catechize children, how to teach children the faith. And so what I decided to do is just to give you five ideas, and I decided to use the word teach to make it easy for me to remember. So, for example, the T in teach will stand for truth, the E for examples, A for... I'll give them to you in a second. I won't give them all to you right now. But so at least you know that's what the outline will be. It's going to be on how to teach the faith to children. Now, we've all heard of St. Pius X, one of the greatest popes of modern times. Well, there was a woman who went to him in Rome, and she said, "Holy Father, I really want to do something great for the church. I really want to do something to help rebuild the church and rebuild society." And you know what he said? He said, "Go back to your parish and teach children the catechism. If you want to rebuild the church and society, that's what you need to do, is just teach children the catechism. It's really one of the most important things we can do." So I'd like to give you these five ideas and the word teach, and the T in teach stands for truth. And that means to make sure that, first of all, we know the truths of our faith, which will require us to study, to pray, to read, to listen to tapes, to educate ourselves, so that we're making sure that we teach the authentic teachings of the Catholic faith to the children. Remember, our Lord talked about that woe to those who lead the little ones astray. It'd be better that a millstone be tied around their neck and be cast into the sea than to lead one of the little ones astray. I'm sure that's one of your favorite passages in Scripture. It's actually very scary because it means that teachers have an awesome responsibility, and so do priests, and so do bishops. All of us have an awesome responsibility to teach the authentic teachings of the Church. So we're not there to teach our own opinions, our own views. We're there to teach the teachings of Christ and the magisterium, the authentic teachings of the Church. So it means that our teachings have to be true, loyal to the Holy Father, loyal to the Church. Another word for it is orthodox. The opposite of that is heterodox, which means false teaching. So our teachings are supposed to be orthodox, in line with the Catechism of the Catholic Church, our recent catechism, and the 2,000-year tradition of the Church. So we can tell if we're teaching the truth if our teachings are in accordance with official Catholic doctrine as found in the councils of the Church. One of the handouts I gave you was a list of every council that's been held. Also, that our teachings are in line with the teachings of the Holy Father in the papal encyclicals and papal documents. And that make sure our textbooks are also good, solid textbooks. In teaching the truth to the kids, what I found that even before you begin teaching, what I found helpful is to make sure you establish that rapport or that relationship with the kids. Because I've been teaching for a number of years now in high school CCD and just about every grade in the school. This year I'm doing kindergarten first and second, and then at the end of this month I'll switch to 6th, 7th, and 8th. And so I go into the school every week and spend many hours there. And I found that one of the things I try to do first is just establish a rapport, a relationship with the kids, to make sure that the kids know that we care about them, that we love them, and that once that relationship is established, then I think that they'll be very open to the truth that we have to give them. Josh McDowell once said that rules without a relationship leads to rebellion. And so if we just give the kids rules without having that relationship with ourselves and also that relationship with Christ, perhaps it would lead them to rebellion. So first we establish that relationship with them, and then we pass on the truth to them. What we want to do is to give them reasons to believe, because as you know, faith is a gift. Only God can give the gift of faith. But we're there to clear up misunderstandings and to give them reasons why we believe and what we believe, and to show them that our faith is reasonable, that it makes sense, that it's not contradictory to common sense and to reason. But faith is a gift from God, and it's up to Him to give the gift of faith. But what we can do is clear up the misconceptions and present reasonable evidence, but it's up to them to accept it. There's a saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So you can basically lead somebody to the truth as far as we possibly can by teaching the correct teachings, but it'll be up to God's grace to enlighten their intellect and to open their mind and heart to accept it as the truth. Father Hardin once said that it's only people with strong faith that pass on strong faith to others. People with weak faith will pass on weak faith. People with strong faith will pass on strong faith. So what I think we need to do in order to teach the truth to the kids is to make sure we know the faith, we know the truth, and that comes through reading, prayer, and studying, and making sure that what we're reading is good, solid, orthodox teaching. The next letter in teach is E, and it stands for examples. Examples. It also stands for equipment, and some of the handouts I gave you are some equipment that you can use. But first let me mention what I believe is so important in teaching the faith to kids, and that is examples. Because kids think in pictures. Like, in fact, all of us think in pictures, but kids especially love stories. They love to be told stories. So if we can paint pictures in their minds of different saints, let them know that the saints are our models and intercessors, and then really to tell a lot of stories. So every catechist, every teacher, whether it be CCD or in the school, needs hundreds of good stories that they can illustrate their teachings. And some of these stories can be the stories of the saints, like the martyrs, and it's important to know the saints very well. I'd encourage you to read the lives of the saints each and every day on your own to be able to pass on that information to the kids. These kids are really fascinated by the martyrs. Kids are fascinated by those who had the stigmata, by, for example, like the oldest saint was Saint Anthony of the Desert, lived to be 110. You know, Saint Raymond of Penniford lived to be 100. St. Patrick lived to be 100. So you can ask the kids, well, who are the oldest saints? And ask them, who are the youngest saints? Like the little children that were killed by King Herod, they're the youngest saints, the holy innocents. And then we have other young saints like Maria Goretti and St. Agnes and St. Cecilia. And it's important to learn the saints well enough that we can tell them interesting stories about them. And tell them about patron saints too, like the patron saint lawyers, you know, St. Thomas More, patron saint of doctors, St. Luke, patron saint of waitresses who get fired from their job, you know, St. Notberga is her name. So there's all sorts of wonderful patron saints. So kids do think in pictures, so use examples, use stories of the saints. Now, as far as the equipment that we should use, since kids do think in pictures, if we can supply them with visual things like good handouts, this can go a long way in helping to get our point across. And I passed out all these handouts to him. Now, the valuable thing about handouts is that the kids can actually see what we're describing, and it's easy for them to remember that way. And also, a piece of paper will remain. You might give a talk and words, you know, disappear very quickly, but what remains printed on the page can last forever. And so the kids will then take home the handouts that you give them. Perhaps they'll show them to their parents, which is very important because you're called to evangelize the parents as well as the kids. And through the kids, you can reach the parents. And also these handouts could be read by brothers or sisters. When I was teaching CCD, high school CCD, I gave out some of these handouts to the public school kids, and they were given permission even to put some of these up on, even up at Centerville High School, on the bulletin board. And so some of these things can be used for evangelization purposes as well. If any of you are involved in RCIA, you can use these things for RCIA as well. Some of these are for little kids, others are for high school age, and others could be used with adults as well. Let me just mention a few things about, maybe if I could borrow your stack there. These two here, called sacred vessels and vestments, I found to be very helpful in RCIA and also in teaching the altar boys. I gave these to all the altar boys and had them study it and learn it. And also, it tells a little bit about the history and what the word means, like chalice and ciborium and paten. Also, it tells about the liturgical colors that are used. So these, I think, would be good for kids of any age. Because once the kids can learn more about the Mass, the vestments that the priest wears, the sacred vessels that are used, I think they'll get a lot more out of the Mass. They'll be a lot more interested if they know about the liturgical colors and if they know about the different things that are used during the sacred liturgy. Another handout I like quite a bit is this one called the Mass Clock. Now, what's neat about this is that this can get across the point that there are 300,000 masses being offered every single day, and every single second there's four consecrations taking place. So the kids can say this beautiful prayer, uniting their own prayers to the Mass, to Jesus offering himself in the Mass, and they can find out exactly where the Mass is being said at any time of the day or night. For example, let's say if it's 5 o'clock in the evening here, Mass is just being said in China because it's morning time over there. And this is based upon the fact that most Masses are said in the morning, like 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and even earlier in the monasteries, 5 o'clock. So since the Mass travels with the sun, then that way throughout the entire world, Masses are being said at every single moment. And we can unite our prayers and sacrifices and offerings to that of the Mass. On the back, we have an interesting cartoon to talk about the importance of Eucharistic adoration. The wide road and the narrow road. One showing the television, the other one showing the tabernacle. And it's not surprising that both begin with a letter T, because so many people spend so much time before the television and yet not that much time before the tabernacle. So even something like this, hanging up in your classroom, can just make a visual impact upon the kids. The next handout is the Origins and Divisions of Protestantism. I got this from Life magazine a couple years ago. And this is very helpful to give a visual representation of how the different denominations split off of the Catholic Church and to show what happens when we leave the church. Splinter groups begin appearing. And today, as you know, in the world, there's 30,000 different Christian denominations. This only goes up to 1947. But since then, 30,000 denominations are out there. And yet Jesus prayed for unity at the Last Supper, John chapter 17. Jesus prayed that his disciples would be one. So this, again, is something that could be hung up on a bulletin board or passed out. And it's very interesting that when the kids take this home to their parents, it does bring up interesting discussions about how all the denominations at one time broke off of the Catholic Church. On the back is called the Timeline of Christianity. And this is good, especially if you're teaching high school kids about the four marks of the church, showing that Christ established this church. It's one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And the fact that it mentions the names and the founders of all the different religious denominations. The next handout is, I think, very helpful. This one is called the Miracle Staircase. And in fact, I'll mention a little bit more about this in a minute. But this is, since kids do think in pictures, and if you do have a photograph of a particular saint, or of a particular miracle, it can help a great deal. This miraculous staircase is a fascinating occurrence, and kids are always interested in things like that. And on the back is a little article about the incorrupt body of Saint Bernadette. The fact that when they opened her tomb after many, many years, her body is perfectly intact. I'm sure many of you have been over there and have actually seen it. Next handout is called the Prayer Checklist. And this is helpful for kids of any age, just to see which ones they, which prayers they know, and encourage them to learn all these prayers. And on the back is an interesting thing. You might have seen this before. And what I did was in my last parish, I gave one of these to each of the classrooms, and they hung it up. And then during recess, the kids would all stare at it, because when you do stare at it and then look at a white wall, you actually see the face of Jesus appear. So the kids really like that. Next handout is called An Examination of Conscience for Children. This one, I think, is very valuable for kids in preparing for their first confession or for any confessions. And on the back is an examination of conscience for, I would say, high school kids or college students or adults, which goes through a detailed review of the Ten Commandments, and also it tells the difference between mortal and venial sin and gives 5 steps for a good confession and the act of contrition. In fact, all of these will be on my website, which is still being built, thanks to people like Carl Krebs and Greg Ostrand and Steve Clifford and Gene Perry and many others that are working on it. It's still being built, but yeah, you can check it out. I'll give you the website address, and that way you can see it as it's being built. There's about 50 articles up there right now, and it'll be about 150 by the time it's done. In fact, all these handouts will be on the internet, and you can be able to download them into easy to distribute copies. They'll be able to be copied in Xerox. The next article is The Making of the New Testament. And this, I think, is especially good for RCIA and for older kids, like the high school age kids. It shows how the Catholic Church is the mother of the Bible, not the daughter of the Bible, that the Church was there before the Bible, just like the founding fathers were there before the Constitution was written. We needed founding fathers to write the Constitution, and we needed a church to write the New Testament. And then on the back is a list of all the popes from St. Peter to John Paul II. And this, I think, is very valuable, too, for kids of any age to show the long line of popes that we've had all the way down to our present Holy Father. And it even mentions, like, how many are saints, like 78 are saints, 7 are beatified, 33 were martyred. In fact, every pope from Peter until the year 315 was martyred for the faith. The first 30 popes were all martyred. So if they elected you pope, you knew you didn't have long to live back then. The next handout is one on the Blessed Mother, and this can be folded up into a little pamphlet form. This is from St. Joseph Radio, and this, I think, is a very good one, especially for the older kids. If you're teaching high school and you're doing some Catholic apologetics with the kids, this is great. This is also very good to give to non-Catholics. Yeah, Dolores. That one, I only had 25 copies of that one. But, Greg?
Some on the Legion table, I think
that's
the same.
Is that the same one? Okay.
Yeah, the ones, most of the copies, I brought about 50 to 70 copies of everything, except for the ones on Purgatory, Mary, the Eucharist, and the Ecumenical Councils. I think I only had 25 of each of those. This is a very good one on Purgatory. Again, very good for RCIA. And even to give to your non-Catholic friends, like as Dolores was mentioning, we do a lot of work with the Legion of Mary, so we're out there visiting homes, welcoming new parishioners, and these are valuable things to give to non-Catholics or to lapsed Catholics to encourage them to come back. This is on the Ecumenical Councils, and this one is on the Eucharist. Well, the last couple handouts I just wanted to mention, in fact, I think there's only 2 more that I think I have not mentioned. This one is called American War Casualties. This one is very good if you get on the topic of, especially in high school, of pro-life and about the abortion situation in our country. And when they see this visual image of how many lives we've lost, that can make a dramatic impact upon the condition of our country and really just how many innocent lives have been lost. And on the back is the Diary of an Unborn Child, which the Knights of Columbus put out, which I think is very good. The last piece of equipment that I brought you was this one called the Religion Clock. Now, this is a neat thing because you can teach a whole lot just by using the clock. And this is just a brief outline. I mean, you can elaborate on this a lot more. For example, with the four, you can draw a clock on the board, and you can even spend, for example, this could be a whole semester. Each day you could take a different number. The first day talk about God, the second day talk about the divinity and humanity of Christ, the third day talk about the Trinity, the fourth day talk about the fact that there are four Gospels, and you could have a whole class on each of these topics. The Passion, the five wounds of Christ, the Holy Days of Obligation, the seven sacraments, the eight Beatitudes, nine First Fridays, 10 Commandments, 11 Faithful Apostles. And you come up with a lot more than just the ideas that are mentioned here. But this is just to get you started. But kids, I think, are sort of fascinated with the fact that you can teach almost the entire Catholic religion in just using the numbers on the clock. And on the back is called a Lenten calendar. And this, I think, is helpful if you're teaching kids of any age during Lent. It's nice to give this out to the kids and have them put it on their refrigerator, because a lot of these things hopefully will wind up on their refrigerator, like the prayer checklist, so whenever they learn their prayers, they can check them off. But the Lenten calendar, I think, is helpful because it gives them something practical they can do every day during that 40 days of Lent. So that's some of the equipment that we can use, those handouts. Feel free to make copies of all these things and to pass them out. And actually, one thing I'd recommend is that you go to Office Depot or Staples and get the page protectors, those nice plastic sheet holders, and put these in there, because these hopefully are good enough quality that you can use these for years to come, and you can make copies of these, and that way you won't lose your original, and years from now you can still be making copies of these. And if you find other good articles when you're reading the paper, cut them out and then put them in your binder, and you can develop a very good binder of teaching tools. Other equipment that we can use, I think, in teaching the kids is occasionally to make use of things like videos. For example, those wonderful cartoons on the saints, I think, are good to show. Because kids, they're very much into movies. I mean, I asked one kid what his favorite movie was. He was a second grader. He said Jurassic Park. I said, how many times have you seen it? He said 156 times. And some of these kids have seen Little Mermaid 40, 50 times. Wouldn't it be great if we could get them to see The Life of St. Francis or St. Bernadette or the story of Fatima, 10 or 20 times, and they would really learn about the lives of the saints that way. And I'm sure your video library has all these Bible videos on cartoon and Jesus of Nazareth, the Song of Bernadette, the Ten Commandments. And you might not need to show the entire movie. Like a six-hour Jesus of Nazareth would be very difficult to show. But what I did for my CCD kids was I showed them during Passion Week, I showed them the section on the suffering from Palm Sunday to the crucifixion. That's powerful. And other good equipment that you can use is I brought some samples of some good children's books. Okay, these books, I think, are very good to use with the little kids, maybe kindergarten, first, second, third grade. This is a series from Father Lobosik. He has hundreds of books in this series. This one is particularly good, The Mass for Children. This one, Receiving First Communion, it's great to give this all to all the second graders. And you might be able to, I don't know if you buy presents for the kids when maybe their last day, or if you can, this can come out of the budget. I don't know what your budget is, but some of these things are very good. You don't have a budget? You have a lot? Okay, you don't have much or you do have much? Well, these are all very good, like our parish church, the Holy Rosary, the Seven Sacraments. These are just samples of hundreds of books that you can get for the kids. And the kids, I think, really benefit from these. The other ones I use quite a bit when I'm teaching is the Baltimore Catechism 1 and 2, just for my own reference. And before I go in to talk about a particular topic, I'll read how it's presented here, because it really does cover the basics very well. This book I have is called The Catechist, and it's like 907 stories, mostly from the saints, having to do with the entire Apostles' Creed and the commandments and the sacraments and prayer. Okay, so those are some of the other things I find helpful. Also, other good equipment that you can use is the miraculous medal, the rosary, the brown scapular. The sacramentals of the church, I think, are very, very helpful. Because you can teach so much just by giving out the miraculous medal. And I did bring some medals just to remind myself to mention of the fact that if you would give the medals out to the kids and explain that, then you know that you can teach so much about the faith. For example, the 12 stars stand for the 12 apostles, and the cross, you can talk about the passion of Christ, and the Sacred Heart, the Immaculate Heart is on the medal. You can talk about the Immaculate Conception, Mary crushing the serpent. You can talk about the devil. You can talk about life beginning at conception. You can talk about Mary as the channel of grace. I mean, there's so much that could be talked about just by using the miraculous medal. I also brought one of these to remind myself of, you know, the kids really like these. These are little pictures of the shroud. I've been giving out thousands of these since I've been ordained almost 9 years ago. And the kids really like these. And it's a good way to talk about the passion of Christ. The next letter in teach is A, and it stands for apparitions and miracles. Apparitions and miracles. And I won't go into this in any detail because I'm sure all of you know about the apparitions. But there's a great book out called A Woman Clothed with the Sun, and this covers the 8 approved apparitions, the 8 major apparitions that have been approved by the church. Our Lady of Guadalupe in 1531, then Rue des Bacs, the miraculous medal in 1830. In 1846, Our Lady appeared at La Salette in France. 1858 was Lourdes. 1879, Our Lady of Knock in Ireland. 1917, Fatima. Then Barang, Belgium in 1932. And Banneau, Belgium in 1933. So apparitions, I think, are very fascinating to the kids because it's a great way to teach them the role of the Blessed Mother and how much she loves us, that she comes to try to lead us to Jesus. And her messages are just the gospel message, so it's a way to get across the gospel message of pray, do penance, amend your lives, follow Jesus. Other miracles, apparitions and miracles that we should tell the kids about, the one would be that miraculous staircase of St. Joseph. That's a great one. Some of the incorrupt saints is very fascinating to kids. People like Bernadette, St. Catherine Laboureille, St. John Vianney. I know of at least, I think it's like 200 saints whose bodies have never corrupted. And it's really fascinating for the kids to learn about these. And there's even a book out called The Incorruptibles. Sounds like an old Elliot Ness TV show, The Incorruptibles. Other things that are fascinating to the kids would be the Eucharistic miracles. Make sure you talk about those. For example, Lanciano is fascinating. The Eucharistic miracle of Siena or Vieto. And there's literally hundreds, and there's books out, Bob and Penny Lord's book, This Is My Body, This Is My Blood, Eucharistic Miracles by Joan Carol Cruz, and those are very valuable, I think, to talk to the kids about. Also, other miracles, I think the Holy Shroud is important to tell the kids about. And there's recent evidence that the carbon dating, as you know, was erroneous. And so the overwhelming scientific evidence would be for the authenticity of the shroud. And you can read books about that. I've read 3 or 4 books on that myself. And that's a great topic, especially during Lent and during the Passion, to talk about the shroud and bring in pictures and tell them about the scourging and the crowning with thorns and the crucifixion. Also, the Tilma of Juan Diego. If you can get an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, tell them about the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, because it's a miraculous image, and there's so many fascinating things about the image, like the magnification in the eye, where you can see the reflection of Juan Diego and the bishop. And so many other things about the Tilma is fascinating. And then tell them about Lourdes and the miracles that occurred at Lourdes. There's been over 5,000 cures at Lourdes. 87, I believe, were declared miracles. You know, Frank Duff once said that one reason why we don't have as many converts is because we don't talk enough about the miracles that have occurred. I mean, the incorrupt saints, the Eucharistic miracles, the miraculous image of Our Lady to Juan Diego, the miracles of Lourdes. Frank Duff called Lourdes a miracle factory because there have been thousands of cures there. And so if we could just let people know about these apparitions and miracles, then I think it's a great way to that God can use these things to attract them to the faith. The next letter in Teach is C, and that stands for the catechism itself. And to make sure that when we're teaching the catechism, we cover all four pillars of the catechism. If you look at any of the, like the catechism of the Council of Trent or the New Catechism, you'll notice that there are four pillars: the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, the Seven Sacraments, and prayer emphasize the existence of God, the Blessed Trinity, creation of the angels, you know, the fall of the angels, emphasize divine revelation, how God reveals himself to us through scripture and tradition, talk about the divinity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, and then emphasize the establishment of the church, the divine founding of the church, and then talk about, if you can, some of the interesting things of church history. And when you're dealing with church history, what I found to be the best way to handle church history is to do the history of the church by looking through the eyes of the saints, like pick out the major saints in every century and talk about the major saints that influence the church, like Francis and Dominic and Thomas Aquinas and Augustine and Pius V and Pius X and all the great Saint Therese. And that's a great way to go through church history, is through the saints. Also by emphasizing the popes as well. You can teach church history by the popes and emphasizing the great popes like Leo the Great, Gregory the Great, Pius V, Pius X, John Paul II. Or you could teach church history by the councils, and the handout I gave you is very good because it lists all the councils, because every one of them dealt with different problems or heresies that were going on in the church at that time. Also in the Apostles' Creed, you could make sure you cover the Blessed Mother, her role, the papacy, and then the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, and also include purgatory, even though that's not one of the last things, because purgatory will end at the end of time, but death, judgment, heaven, and hell. So those are the main topics when you're covering the Apostles' Creed that I really think need to be covered. In the Ten Commandments, that's the second pillar of the catechism, using that examination of conscience that I gave you is a great way to go through the Ten Commandments, because it covers all of the subdivisions that come underneath each of the commandments. And then especially you can divide up the commandments in different ways. Like in RCIA, we spend three sessions covering the commandments. I know some RCIA classes, they only have one class for Ten Commandments, and I don't think you can really treat those in just one class. The way we do it is the first class is Commandments 1, 2, and 3, dealing with God, and then we deal with Commandments 4 through 10, 4, 5, 7, 8, and 10. That's one way to cover those, and then do 6 and 9 in a separate session. Or if you have time, let's say in RCIA, to divide it up into four sessions is probably best, because there's so much in those commandments, and it probably would take, you know, four separate weeks to cover those. So you might need to do this as well when you're teaching the high school kids. Try to break it up into maybe just deal with two or three commandments each session. The next section is the seven sacraments, to teach baptism, penance, Eucharist, confession, matrimony, holy orders, anointing. Yeah, there's so much to be said about this, and I'm sure there are different ways to teach the sacraments. I'm sure, in fact, you probably have been doing this for years. But again, I would just say that if you make sure you cover all the stuff that's in the Baltimore Catechism, you can't go wrong in dealing with the sacraments, because it's a very good explanation of the sacraments. And in prayer, the way the Catechism teaches prayer is by going through the Our Father. If you read the Catechism, you'll know that it takes every phrase of the Our Father and breaks it up. And you can do that with the kids. You can also do that with the Hail Mary and go through every phrase of the Hail Mary. And one way I found helpful in teaching prayer to kids is using the word altar, A-L-T-A-R, an A standing for adoration, and tell them all about what adoration means. Love would be the L, thanksgiving, the T, and A would be for asking, and R for either making a resolution or making reparation. It's a great way to teach the kids how to pray, especially after they receive communion. Oftentimes they don't know what to say to Jesus. So you can have them mentally go through, adore Jesus, love Jesus, thank Jesus, ask Him for what you need, and then either make a resolution or offer Him reparation. Lastly, the last H, the last letter is in the word teach is H, and that stands for holiness, which is really the most important thing. It's the reason why we come to church, it's the reason why we are teaching the catechism to the kids, is because now you want to become closer to God yourself, and you want to bring them closer to God as well. So your own relationship with God really is the most important thing in being able to pass on the faith to the kids. Your own holiness will affect them. And like the soul of the apostle it talks about, and the Legion Handbook talks about that too, that if a person is like a clean window, then God's grace can pass through them to others. If there's sin, then God's light of truth won't be able to pass through them as easily. So your role is not only teaching the kids the truths of the faith, but helping to form them to become little saints, to become holy. So you're not only forming the intellect, you're helping, hopefully, to motivate their will to lead a good, holy life, to practice the virtues, to grow in faith, hope, and love, to grow in prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. So being a religious ed teacher, CCD teacher, or Catholic school teacher, it's a wonderful gift and privilege and responsibility to make sure that we're teaching the kids the authentic teaching to the church, and then hopefully you'll be an instrument of bringing holiness and increasing the holiness and the virtue in the lives of the kids that you teach, which will mean that you're going to be wanting to make sure that they're going to Sunday Mass, which is something that a lot of these kids don't do. You know, the parents drop them off for CCD, but you know, they don't bring them to Mass. But the way you can get to the parents is, again, through the kids. So always ask the kids, okay, do you guys go to Mass this week? Who went to Mass? And make sure that the kids are going to church. Encourage them to go to regular confession, to pray every day, to say their morning prayers, their morning offering, at night to examine their conscience and say an act of contrition, to do good spiritual reading, to read the Bible, and make sure they all have a good children's Bible that they're reading, and make sure they have the lives of the saints. And there's a very good Catholic children's Bible out there, and a very good books on the saints for the kids. Make sure that the kids have these, whether or not it's something that you can give them through religious ed or that their parents should give them. Also encourage them to have good friends, good Catholic friendships. So I realize that your really vocation or your calling as a teacher is not only to form the intellect, but also to help inspire the will and to motivate them to a greater love of God and to help them get to heaven. Because that really is the ultimate purpose of why you're teaching CCD, is to get these kids to heaven. And to get them to heaven, we need these tools, namely good, solid, orthodox teaching, because if a person doesn't have the right teachings, it's going to be very difficult for them to get their way to heaven. It's like having a bad map. If you're trying to get to New Jersey and if you have a lousy map, if you don't have the right roads, how are you going to get there? So the Orthodox teaching is like the roadmap to getting us to heaven. But it's not only the teachings, it's also the sacraments, prayer, and the influence of all of you. And never underestimate the amount of good you can do in teaching. Some of my friends, in fact, one of my good priest friends, was a public school kid, and when he was in, I think, 11th or 12th grade, he had a great CCD teacher, and that inspired him and really changed his life. And he eventually, after college, went to the seminary and now He's been ordained almost 10 years. And it was just the one teacher that really made a big difference in his life. And there's hundreds of stories like that as well, of one good book can convert somebody, or one good teacher can really make a difference. And you never know, you might be forming a future nun or a future priest or a future bishop, maybe even the bishop of our own diocese, because it's been taking so long to get a bishop. Maybe we'll be teaching our future bishop. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks a lot, everybody.
I have a question about how do you basically get to have the classes where you have so many classes to parents who are in the church, one Catholic and one Protestant. And, you know, the questions come up when you're teaching that the fullness of the faith, the whole package, and then the child raises the connection, but my dad is Muslim. Does that mean, you know, does that mean going to hell? And of course I say no, but it's a very difficult thing. You don't want to make the child feel bad. And how do you suggest to someone to deal with that?
Yeah, that's a very good question, especially when there is different denominations among the kids' parents. And sometimes one parent might not only just be not Catholic, they might not even be Christian, they might be unbaptized, and so it does present a dilemma. I would say, of course, always be loving and charitable in presenting the faith and let them know that Jesus founded the Catholic Church and has the fullness of revelation. Then you can quote, you know, Vatican II. You know, you might want to read Vatican II and Lumen Gentium, the document which talks about how Christians of other denominations can be saved and how they can be saved and how people outside the church, because Jesus died for them and redeemed them, you know, can obtain salvation as well. And let the kids know to pray for those of other denominations, to pray for both their parents, not only the non-Catholic one, but, you know, make sure the kids are praying for their parents. And perhaps some of the literature and information that you give them, in them taking it back to their parents, could be evangelization of the parents. So hopefully it will help them. So it is a difficult situation. I've had that many times as well. And it just takes it, I would just say, pray for prudence and saying the right thing to the kids, and always say the truth in charity, and let them know not to water down the teachings of the faith. Let them know that Jesus only established one church. However, because other people are baptized as Christians, and because they have a relationship with Jesus and read the Bible, maybe through no fault of their own, they don't realize the Catholic faith is the one true faith. And for that reason, you know, can be saved as well. Yes. Okay, I'll pass out this card. This is a temporary card. But this does have a website address on there, so you can check that out. Also, there's a lot of good information on the internet that you can get. For example, if you go to the Steve Clifford's website at transporter.com, Transporter is the name of his sort of company, his servicer, and he's the one who's building my website, so I'll be a link off of the Steve Clifford, the Catholic Shop, the Legion of Mary, all of us will be like under the same Transporter servicer. And if you go to the link section, you can go to Catholic Answers, and you can go to different particular groups, and they have a lot of good literature and handouts for the kids. But I'm glad you did ask me about that, because I would have probably forgotten to give out that address. Yeah.
Turn back to material. The Bible verse that you gave, where was that again?
For the truth about when Jesus said, woe to those who scandalize one of the little ones, better for a millstone to be patted on the neck. Off the top of my head, I can't recall the chapter and verse of that. Does anybody know the chapter and verse of that? Okay. You don't have it hanging up on your mirror, Kathy? You don't read it every day? Off the top of my head, I can't recall the chapter and verse of that, but I'm sure that we can find that for you. Okay, any other questions? Other questions? What's that?
One you said about the children world?
Yes.
And John 17?
Now, John 17 is the priestly prayer of Jesus at the Last Supper where Jesus prayed for unity. So that is another passage I did mention. And that's when I showed about the handout of all the different denominations breaking off. And that's John chapter 17. It's called the priestly prayer of Jesus. The fact that he prayed that all his followers would be united and be one. And yet, that's not what we have, unfortunately. So we are praying for Christian unity, that all Christians will come back to the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Okay, good. Okay, anybody else? Any other questions? Or comments, too.
Okay, Father, I had one of your second graders, and the same family came up. And we went through the, and I have to admit, I have to answer that to my friend.
Right.
What do you say to the second graders?
Well, the second, the best way to teach the sixth and ninth commandments for the second graders would be to, if you have that examination of conscience for children, maybe if somebody can pass that to me.
That's a good,
because this teaches like the sixth and ninth commandments, I think, in a very modest way. For example, do I treat my body and other people's bodies with purity and respect? So the big thing is to emphasize the respect, the sacredness of sexuality, the sacredness of the body. Tell them about the fact that they're in the image and likeness of God, that whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. Jesus takes whatever you do to another person done to himself. So the big thing emphasized is respect for the body, respect for other people's body. So look at television shows, movies, or pictures that are bad. That's, again, a good way to phrase that, to make sure that they're not watching bad TV, movies, or pictures. And am I modest in my speech and the clothes I wear, not to tell bad or impure jokes, and then to make sure that the clothing that they wear is modest. And then under the ninth commandment, do I allow my parents to spend time with one another, or do I get jealous and want them to pay attention only to me? Do I get mad at my friends? Let's see, do I get mad when I have to share with my friends? Are there kids I will not play with or be mean to because they look different? That has to do with more coveting or enviousness or jealousy, but under that commandment, another thing to get across is the fact of desire, of not, it wasn't, Jesus said it's not just enough not to do the action, it's also the desire of the heart. So get that point across as well. So I would say that's a one way to treat the sixth and ninth commandment is to make sure that they're not watching bad movies, TV shows, or pictures, or books. And well, one of the terrible things is sometimes kids will say, I looked at my... Yeah, I was in my dad's room and I found his bad magazines. When we talk about scandalizing a little one, talk about having a millstone around your neck, woe to that father or parent or mother who would have these bad things lying around for their kids to look into. And the same thing could go with the internet if there's no net nanny or net, I'm sure these different, I forget, nanny net and all these different things. I think as parents you have an awesome responsibility to safeguard the innocence of your children, and that needs to be done over the internet, TV, movies, and things that might be lying around the house. Any other questions on that topic? Did that cover what you're asking about?
Pretty much. I mean, it's a problem with being kids at that age, second grade. I mean, maybe it's just me that that's what I
said. Yeah, that's true. You don't want to be too explicit. You want to always be chaste and modest in how you describe things. Yeah, Carl, and then Andrea.
I think I want to look at these kids who are kind of school, like waiting in their FRA courses and stuff, and something. They may have had some of this already. They're public school.
Right, that's a good point. And unfortunately, because of the news and the politicians and what's in the newspapers, unfortunately, a lot of these kids are asking questions that they shouldn't even know about these things. Unfortunately, it's tough even to have the news or TV or radio on. when little kids are around, Andrea.
I just wanted to suggest that there's a happy shop
like an excellent story. Another good analogy I've heard, especially for like high school kids, in regards to sexuality and sex is something very good and holy. It's like fire. When it's in a fireplace, it's something very good. It's in its place. That's like sexuality, sex and marriage. But if you take it outside of the fireplace, it can burn down the house, it can destroy the neighborhood. So in its place, it's something very good and sacred. But when before marriage and things like that, then that causes, you know, a lot of problems. Yes.
Do you
want to
share
a passion
with
your son?
Oh, well.
Do
you
want to
tell them about it? Because that's one of the
people.
Oh, did I give you
that one? No, I'm not familiar with that.
And there's an incredible book, and I don't know, I forget the number. You can't get it every place, but Pastor Harry Jerusalem carries this book on the King of the Golden City, and it has really been set by Divine Providence, I'm sure. It is beautiful, absolutely exquisite book written by Mother Mary Loyola back in 1921. She was a nun from England, and the book is an allegory. And she had just received the last rites, and this seems to have been a gift that was given to her. And the whole book is an allegory, and the children just love finding the hidden meanings and figuring them out and everything in the book. But basically, the book talks about a little girl, and it's every child. The book has really seemed to have touched the child in so many ways. It's incredible. But the book, the little girl in the book is called, her name is called Electa, and she lives in the land of exile, and she wants to go to Golden City, and the prince, she is given a prince guardian, and of course that's the guardian angel, and the king comes to her and visits her in her hut, which is her soul, and the whole book talks about the visit that the king has with this child in the little hut, and how she cleans the hut out and gets ready for the visit by planting wild flowers, which are the virtues, outside her hut. So Jesus has a beautiful walkway to enter her hut and everything. And there's one beautiful part in the book, and she says to her prince guardian one day, she says, "Dear prince," she says, "there is somebody that lives in my hut, and I can't stand her. She's always getting me in trouble, and she always wants her own way, and her name is Self. Can't you ask the king to give me a new self?" And the prince guardian says to her, "My child, don't ask the king to give you a new self. You must learn to train the self you have." And then the whole rest of the book goes into the training of herself and how that she wants to be a princess in the Golden City, but she must be trained first to be that princess here in the land of exile. It's just an incredible book that every family should have. And there really have been so many families that have gotten a book that are reading it together.
And what's the name of the book again?
It's called The King of the Golden City. And it's by Mother Mary Loyola. I can actually, is it the name? Yeah, okay. And, from Catholic Heritage Curriculum.
Very good. Thanks, Kathy. Good. Other comments or questions about anything we talked about today? Maybe some of your comments? Yeah, Laura?
Well, just a comment. I just think, I mean, it was opportune as always. The Holy Spirit worked so wonderfully that you came to us today, and the characters that are here, and really do hear and pay attention to the fact that I know it's a volunteer position, and I know, you know, they're doing it out of the kindness of their heart, but it is so important that we do. I think the key was to teach the truth, not our opinion, not what we think might be right. And I know that, you know, even for myself, we don't know it all. But like you said, you have to learn and do those things. And even join fraternities are things that will help us to even be closer. And I think, you know, one of the goals for Tommy to you, bring the children to Our Lady, so that indeed she will take these children to Jesus, who will take them to the Father. So that's the goal we're trying to do. We're trying to make it a family situation. Part of our curriculum is the Baltimore Catechism.
Right. Curriculum. That's
so
good.
I know somebody said if I sent those home for parents to do it, but they need to come back. But I really appreciate you coming today.
Sure.
Father Jeffrey's been an inspiration in so many of our lives here and our lives of our family. We can't thank you enough. I personally can't thank you enough. Elated that you were here with us today, and there was a good reason why you're here as always. I do need you to kind of help with the parish office and do something else. But if anybody has any other questions or comments for Father Pepper, but if we can go ahead and end too, because we want to be done by noon. But there are a couple of questions and things that we need to talk about as well.
Okay, good. Just one last comment, and I'll give you just final prayer and blessing. I'm glad you did mention about Our Lady. And I would say that, like the Pope has said, that every person has a seed of love for Our Lady in their heart. So sometimes it needs to be watered and cultivated and help it to grow. And so if you can do that, to implant this great love of the Blessed Mother in the hearts of the children, then we found that she always leads them to Jesus, to the Eucharist, to confession, to the sacraments. So in a sense, if you can introduce people to Our Lady and have a tender and true devotion to her, then in a sense, they've got it made, because obviously she will lead them to Jesus and to prayer and to the sacraments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.